I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Later on this hour, I mean, this is an unbelievable story. This bald fiend, his name is Eric Uhler. Oh my God, what a mugshot in his big bald head and his evil eyes. For decades, he was molesting boys. And his angle was illegal immigrant boys. Good one, huh? This comes out of Santa Monica, where there's 200 victims so far, at least. 200! The abuse could have begun in 1989. The city of Santa Monica has had to pay out over $200 million related to the damage that this man did. And of course, they ignored, I guess, complaints or problems related to this man. The total payout is $229.285 million, the most costly single predator sexual abuse disbursement for any municipality in the state. It's all because of this one man. We're going to find out about the latest lawsuit settlements from Brian Claypool in about 30 minutes on the John and Ken Show, but apparently he was a volunteer with the Police Activities League, which gave them access to the boys and girls.
Just as a side note here, you may wonder, where is the city going to get the money? Part of the money, they're going to suspend a substantial portion of a special fund to build affordable housing.
Well, no.
How about that? They can't.
That must have upset some people.
They can't build affordable housing because they got to pay hundreds of millions of dollars to some sex pervert.
Yeah,
who's going after young boys. Wow.
People witnessed him driving young boys all over town.
No affordable housing for you. Sorry.
He was given a take-home, fully equipped, unmarked police vehicle. And he would use it to drive the boys home and around town and shower them with free gifts.
And you're right, such a creepy-looking guy. Nobody who worked with him all those years picked up on it. Oh,
I take it he's in prison. This is all civil
stuff. Oh, he killed himself.
Oh, he did. Okay,
no wonder. Yeah, so they had a happy ending there.
Oh, how long ago did he kill himself?
I don't know. I gotta look this up. I don't remember hearing about this case. I'm sure we
know. But this is just the latest settlement, so this has apparently been known for a little while, but he got away with this for a long time.
$229 million in total.
200 people and counting have come forward to say this guy abused me.
Yeah, so it's a million a kid.
Yep.
I mean, at first you think that's an outrageous amount of money.
Yeah, here's a PAL employee who said in 1995 a boy told her that Uller had offered to help clean his penis because his father is a doctor. 1995! He continued to volunteer with the Police Activities League. Think about that.
Who else was in on this, I wonder?
Yeah, well, I'm sure Brian will have a lot of opinions on that.
How many of the other guys knew this was going on?
All right, so if you're a small business owner, listen up, because you may have to pay out an additional $420 per employee per year because the state of California has driven the unemployment fund into bankruptcy. And what was a huge chunk of that? Oh, John, bad news. Julie Sue got by the committee in the Senate.
Oh, you're kidding me.
She did, yeah. Party line vote.
Oh, no.
Her nomination has been moved to the full Senate.
Julie Sue is responsible for the $30 million going out the door.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that, but now we did the story.
$30 million that she blew.
No,
billion. $30 billion she blew. And she's moving on to a full vote?
Yeah. Oh. Well, remember, they approved her in 2021 as a deputy, so they'll probably do it again. She's already gone through the Senate to become a deputy secretary of labor, but now she's going to run the whole department, and I don't see there any stopping her.
There is nothing that stops you from getting approved in the Biden administration. Would you hire somebody who blew $30 billion just out of laziness because she couldn't be bothered? This is not an ideological issue here. This is just she was too lazy to enforce the fraud mechanisms that should have been in place.
So we're reading from California Globe. His name is John Kabatek. He's the California State Director for the National Federation of Independent Businesses. He says, as it stands now, small business owners will have to dig deeper and pay an additional $420 per employee per year because the state drove the unemployment fund into bankruptcy. By shuttering small businesses, the state drove California consumers to big box stores. In tandem with this funneling, those same corporations were able to borrow vast amounts of available business loans. Record profits ensued. He thinks the state to possibly right this problem, Governor Newsom should at a minimum backfill the unemployment fund by taking money, obviously, from the state's budget.
Affordable housing.
If that doesn't happen, then they're going to have to charge the small businesses extra unemployment tax money.
$420, I think.
Per employee per year.
Per employee per year for every small business. $420.
Can you imagine if you have like just 10 people working for you? Because $4,200.
Julie Sue was too stupid and lazy to enforce fraud protocols.
All right.
How do you give away $30 billion to fraudsters? How do you do that? She got up every day and went to work, and every day, tens of millions of dollars was going out the door. Every day they were mailing out tens of millions of dollars to fraudsters or transferring the money to their bank accounts. Every day that's what she did. And now she's going to be the labor secretary.
70% of that $30 billion in fraud was believed to have been filed by criminal organizations. It is monetary and criminal, a debacle on a scale not seen in the United States.
No.
And we said that at the time. We said that number is incredible. And I still think that may be an underestimate.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But
and he writes here, there were no sweating government officials questioned in public.
No.
About why 133 death row inmates received benefits, or if cartels were involved, or why fraud alert red flags were removed from multiple applications.
No.
There was some chatter in Sacramento about owning it and aggressively going after criminals who committed fraud, but owning it morphed into blaming the Trump administration and aggressively going after criminals turned into championing themselves after they caught a criminal who applied and received unemployment benefits in the name of convicted murderer Scott Peterson. So they got the one guy that pretended he was Scott Peterson.
You sent out the money. Trump didn't send out the money. You did. Julie Sue was running the department that sent out the $30 billion. And now, if you own a business, you have to make up the debt.
Yeah, because this is how it works. The federal government actually starts all this. They play the role of the state's disperser, and the amount is $20 billion. So California is going to have to pay that back to the federal government. And these are the ways they're going to have to do it, either by making the small businesses pay more per employee per year, or by having Newsom and the legislature do something.
And Newsom
didn't. But we're in a deficit coming up. They're probably not going to do anything.
Newsom didn't care either. I mean, he hired Julie Sue, and it was in the news constantly about the $30 billion going out the door.
Oh, and remember, Newsom, this story we haven't mentioned lately, he blocked access to prisoners' Social Security numbers. He thought that was some invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
And that was a way they could have found out that this applicant is a prisoner.
Yeah. So they chose to blow the money. And they figured, well, if we ever get caught, if it becomes a disaster, we'll just tax the small business owners, $420 per employee per year. Who do you all small business owners, who do you vote for? Do you vote for Newsom? No, seriously, you vote for a guy who hires Julie Sue and they give away the money and then they come knocking on your door and say, hey, you got to cover the difference here.
Yep. Wait, so were you going to be on the hook for an extra $420 per employee per year? She's getting a promotion.
Because
she's going to be the U.S. Secretary of Labor.
This wasn't a mistake. This wasn't some unforeseen consequence. Oh, things happen. No, this wasn't a mistake. This isn't a hindsight. This is they got up every day knowing that there was a lot of fraud, and they kept sending out the fraudulent checks and the fraudulent wires. Anyway, see, they knew that this was happening, and they didn't care. It's not a mistake.
All right, coming up next, money. Well, this is another keyword on our show to be revealed, and you could win money from KFI in the inflation compensation contest. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right. Remember earlier in the show, we talked about, we were talking about the weather, and then we made our way to allergies, and then we made our way to climate change. Remember all that?
Yes.
Believe it or not, the John and Ken show got an email from a publicist. Hi there. American adults are reportedly suffering some of the worst allergies in history thanks to climate change. And she's pitching a couple of guests. And I did click the link. And it is the NBC News story. Adults are getting allergies for the first time. Thanks, comma, climate change. A pollen storm and longer allergy seasons are sending a growing number of adults in search of relief.
Pollen storm. Another catchy little phrase.
People in their 30s, 40s, and 50s have never had to deal with this before and are experiencing seasonal allergies. How about that?
It's a contrived scare is what it is.
The combustion of fossil fuels increases carbon dioxide as CO2 levels go up. Plants and trees produce more pollen. That's the link here, according to the research.
It happens when you have a lot of rain. But
we knew this, that trees absorb CO2. Right? Remember we talked about that years ago? Wasn't that the idea behind offsetting your carbon output?
No, there's a lot more flowers blooming. I think everybody is familiar with the super blooms that are all over Southern California. There's a lot of flowers blooming from bushes in my front yard that I've never seen before. We've had the bushes, for 15 years.
What's the rain?
I had no idea that some of these bushes sprouted these beautiful, delicate little pink flowers, pink and white flowers all over the place, right outside the front door. And now when I leave the house, I go outside the door, immediately I start sneezing, like my head's going to come off. And it's because these stupid pink flowers, which weren't, but it was the rainiest year we've had in 15 years. It's nothing.
All right, now we turn to a good one here on the John and Ken Show. The idea that a lot of our problems when it comes to crime and security issues don't have to be solved by armed police officers anymore. All we need is an ambassador. They have a little jacket that says ambassador on it, and they'll be out there. They'll be the eyes and ears to see what's going on, and maybe they can bring down the hostility levels. And, well, we go to West Hollywood. We have this report to play for you. This is a report from Lori Perez, KCAL News, about a big fight in West Hollywood, which has people in the neighborhood concerned that these street ambassadors, and by the way, West Hollywood's the one, remember the Don, they cut back on sheriff's deputies and they went for the security ambassadors instead.
Right.
All right, here we go.
Take a look as two guys go after each other on the street in West Hollywood, and then notice the other two guys, block by block ambassadors, watching it play out without stepping in. Depending on who you ask, this either shows the city's security program working, or, as Ethan Reynolds, who took the video, thinks,
I was like, ooh, this doesn't look too good.
It shows it failing. The video does appear to show one of the ambassadors on a phone or walkie-talkie, maybe calling for help. And if that's the case, the mayor's office told me that's exactly what's expected to happen. But Reynolds says anyone can call 911.
If the block-by-block ambassadors are not empowered to to mitigate situations like this, which do seem to occur often in West Hollywood, it truly does give us a false sense of security. And I think that's extremely frustrating as a resident.
It's lingering frustration for some. Last June, with some controversy, the city council voted to reduce the number of deputies and has since been steadily increasing the number of unarmed security ambassadors. There are now 85 in and we did spot them all over. But some locals say last year the city saw violent crime spike.
Oh.
A fatal shooting at an upscale apartment complex, a terrifying follow home, a blatant street robbery. And some say this kind of response,
you look at it and you can go, Jesus, come on, jump in there, do something.
Doesn't seem quite
adequate. I'm an ambassador.
Whatever the policy is that's in place that made them react the way that they reacted has to be changed.
The mayor's office directed us to the city's website for the policy. It clarifies the role as, among other things, conducting safety escorts and responding to nonviolent
safety
calls.
Escorts.
And some agree there is value to a uniformed presence.
It's kind of like chicken soup. It couldn't hurt. The more eyes watching, the better off we are.
Thanks,
but Reynolds
Carol.
Says nowadays, eyes and ears aren't enough.
If it's just a secondary step for providing true intervention, I just don't see the point.
Now, West Hollywood's mayor has told me in the past it's about getting boots on the ground to de-escalate situations without violence.
Boots. The word is de-escalate, right?
You know what? When you have a real violent action occurring in front of your eyes, being an ambassador is completely useless. Completely useless. You have a phone. Everybody's got a phone. You're going to have no effect. You need an officer with a gun. That stops it. Most people back down if an officer shows up and they can see he's armed. Most of the time, that'll end it.
Not a guy with a walkie-talkie calling in.
Right. I'm going to get on my walkie-talkie immediately.
I'm going to tell mother on you.
That's right. I'm making a call. That is so ridiculous. And so what happens? Fight gets out of control. No one's going to stop it. It's just going to get crazier. You know, next fight, more people are going to jump in because nobody's going to stop them. This is this ambassador nonsense. It's like a cult. Oh, we have ambassadors. Metro has ambassadors, right?
Yes.
Yes. Metro has all kinds of
stabbings. Yes, they're having more stabbings.
That's right. People are getting set on fire on Metro trains. But we have ambassadors. That is the most feeble response, foolish response possible. You need a big guy with a gun and a uniform and a baton. You need weapons that can cause real damage.
There's
no other way to do it.
This is all part of the defund the police movement, right?
They
want the mental health people to answer calls, and they want ambassadors to be on the streets.
It's all those silly words. Well, we have to have alternatives. We have to have de-escalation. We have to use de-escalation.
Yes. De-escalation tactics are the big thing now.
We have to have non-violent alternatives. No, when someone's engaging in violence, you have to have the threat of worse violence to get them to stop. That's the only thing. There's no alternatives to this.
When we return, it's one awful, amazing story. We're going to be talking to attorney Brian Claypool. He had a press conference today. It's a landmark settlement with the city of Santa Monica in connection with the childhood sexual abuse of 124 people, although we think there might even be 200 victims. It's a man that worked for decades as a volunteer with what they call a police activities league in Santa Monica. And apparently he would use his access to children, mostly immigrant boys, to sexually abuse them. and time went on. Some complaints were made, all ignored. This guy went on to abuse these kids. I mean, he started in 1989. So it's resulted in a huge payout by the city of Santa Monica, which has now exceeded $120 million. We'll talk to Brian Claypool about it coming up next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
I misspoke before the break. Santa Monica has settled more lawsuits dealing with a particular story of sex abuse. A total payout of $229.285 million, the most costly single perpetrator sex abuse disbursement for any municipality in the state. What we're talking about here centers around a man who I guess is now dead, Eric Uller.
He committed suicide 5 years ago.
He spent 3 decades as a civilian employee with the Santa Monica Police Department. He came from a physician's family. He worked as a volunteer with something called the Police Activities League, where he had access to boys and girls, and it looks like he molested many boys for decades. Who can talk more about this is the man who represented some of the victims and talked about it at a news conference today, Brian Claypool. Attorney Brian Claypool is coming on the air now to give us more information on this horrendous story.
Brian, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, great to be back with you guys. Thank you.
$229 million is a staggering figure. It's overwhelming. How did this guy get away with this for so long? If you're molesting, you know, well over 100 young boys, somebody, some other adults must have noticed.
Yeah, this is one of the most staggering and shocking situations I've ever seen. Why? Because this guy, at the end of 1989, he's hired, I think, as a dispatch operator for the city. And then he became the head IT guy, information technology for the entire city of Santa Monica. So what he did for over a decade, into the early 2000s, he'd show up to this, they call it the PAL program, almost every day. But he would dress up like an undercover police officer. He would wear that polo shirt that says the city of Santa Monica. He had a badge on that looked like a police badge. In his car, he had a radio transmitter, you know, like they used back then, when there's calls made. A couple of the victims said they saw a gun in his glove compartment. He had a canine dog that he walked around with, right? And he told all these kids at the program, I'm a cop. And why did he do that? because he was able to groom them and then molest a lot of them. How did he do that? What he would do is after like a sports game, like at 6-7 o'clock at night, hey kids, let's go get some Tito's tacos or something to eat. He'd round up some of the kids in his, and by the way, an undercover police car that was Crown Victorias, remember? And then the undercover SUV vans he used as well. So these kids all think he's a cop. He starts taking them for food and then he drives them home. And then the last kid that he's dropping off, he would molest like in an alley near the home. And then he threatened these kids and said, if you say anything, you know, I'm coming after you. I'm going to harm your family. I'm going to get your parents deported. And then one of the other things he did that was just horrible is he would tell these kids that were playing sports, you need to get a physical. And of course, these kids were like, I don't really know what that is. What is it? He's like, well, let me take care of it. And they drive them to his dad's medical office in Santa Monica. And he would molest, sodomize the kids in the medical office there. It's just horrible.
And it says here that apparently there was an investigation between 1991 and 1993. A Santa Monica police sergeant became suspicious.
Yeah, so, well, I'm aware of at least three reports that were made during this time frame. I know the LA Times is doing a deeper dive, and they've come up with some even more reports that were made. But make no mistake about it. The Pell program and the city of Santa Monica were on notice. Back in the early 1990s, like you're saying, that's when one of the first reports came out that he was being inappropriate with some of the boys.
So why not kick him out of these programs?
But dude, let's go one step further than that. Let's give the city the benefit. Even if they didn't have a report made, I hope your listeners realize that the law in California for sex abuse is either a school or an after-school program like this. It's either they knew or should have known. They don't even have to have actual knowledge. But when a guy is showing up, when he's showing up at your after-school program with vulnerable, underserved kids, and he's wearing an effing outfit that looks like a cop, why did nobody at that program say something to him? Like, why are you dressing like that?
No police officers got wind that there was a guy at the PAL events who's telling all the kids he's a cop.
No, they knew. They knew. And that's why I was demanding. I'm demanding an independent investigation. Why have none of the police officers that were on duty? Why wasn't the chief of police investigated? Why are there no criminal repercussions? Let me just tell you point blank. One of my clients looked the two police officers in the face in the early 90s and said, what, quote, why are you letting Mr. Uller do what he's doing to these boys? And you know what the cop said to my 13-year-old client? He said, if you bring that up again, I'm going to kick you out of this program. That's how they handled it. They knew what was going on.
They wanted to protect the program.
Totally.
Which is what they do at every school, every church, every Boy Scout organization. They want to protect the program. But why didn't they make him disappear even if they didn't want to go public with the whole mess? Why not just say, look, we know what you're doing. Get out. We don't want to see your face again.
Well, I have a theory on that, and I will tell you, I've talked to a former police officer that worked in the city of Santa Monica when Uller was there. And his theory, and I agree with his theory, is that Uller had access to everything. Think about it, guys. Any messages that are sent, any emails that are sent internally with the city, anything said by police officers, for example, while they're in the car. Like this guy, what I've learned is people in the city of Santa Monica were terrified of Eric Uller because he held the key to everything they were talking about. And I think a lot of people in the police department within the city were worried that he might have some dirt on them, and they treated this guy like a king. He got in 2002, when he was still molesting boys at Pell, the city of Santa Monica gave him an award for the best employee of the city of Santa Monica. Go figure.
Wow.
That's...
Yeah, he was awarded Police Civilian Employee of the Year and got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
because
there it is.
So they knew he was molesting these kids, but they also knew everything they had said and written that he might have a record of, and so they were all compromised.
This didn't unravel, it says, until 2018, and then he eventually killed himself.
Yeah,
2018.
I mean,
Butts, who used to be the mayor of Santa Monica, he's now the mayor of Inglewood. He was a police chief in Santa Monica, said he never heard anything about Uller when he was there from 1991 to 2006.
I find that hard to believe.
Guys, think about it, because I've been on your show before with some of these cases. Think about it, right? Like, in some cases, you have maybe a doctor in a back room who's molesting a patient, right? Or in a lot of these school cases, you've got like a teacher in a dark closed door room, right? That's different than this. It's like this dude showed up every day being an imposter of a police officer. And my argument is that the city employees, the top dog chief of police, they are aiders and abettors in the commission of this ongoing sex abuse. And we need a new law. We need a law. Who's going to be the state legislator that's going to call me? We need a new law. When top executives and personnel at a government entity, at a school, a university, an after-school program, when they know or should know that somebody's molesting kids on their watch, they should be prosecuted criminally for child endangerment. And until we get a law that's got some teeth in it, we're going to keep seeing this garbage happening.
All right, Brian, thank you so much. Very passionate. And we hope you hear from somebody. Let us know.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, guys, for covering this.
All right. Brian Claypool, an attorney, represented many victims of sex abuse. And in this case, an incredible story, incredibly bad story out of Santa Monica involving a volunteer with the police department who's molesting boys for decades.
Overeager men who want to volunteer helping boys.
Oh, and they all knew he was always taking them for rides and stuff.
No, I mean, that just screams child molester. And everybody should be suspicious of a guy like that. That's not what guys want to get involved in.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Leave us a message for the Moist Line through that app using the microphone icon or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, sometimes it's hard to keep up with what Generation Z, those are people that were born from 1997 onwards. So the oldest of them now would be, what, 25, 26 years old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
According to a recent survey of 1,300 managers, 3 out of 4 agree that this is the hardest generation they've ever had to work with. 65% said they've had to fire them more often than they thought they would. 1 in 8 have let go of a Gen Zer less than 1 week after their start date. What are the problems with this particular group of, or this particular generation of workers? Well, a lot of it focuses around the office, and they think the pandemic really caused a problem here. They don't concentrate or pay attention. Everybody's scrolling through their phones. They don't understand a business setting or how an office operates. They don't understand a hierarchy. One guy said they're all experiencing, to me, some weird type of behavior.
Yeah.
I was taught when I got here how an office operates, whether it's dealing with a hierarchy or just something as simple as when someone's in front of you, you actually look them in the eye.
They are phone zombies, said one.
That's all they do is scroll.
Yeah, they keep their heads down and scroll. This is a generation of toddlers. They're emotionally oversensitive. And they've spent their lives staring at screens, whether it's video games or the internet, their iPhones.
And I think it's a lot of FOMO.
Yeah.
It's always this fear of missing out, so they're constantly looking for what people are posting on social media and what their friends are doing and what's the big trend. And
because if you're working 8 hours, that's 8 hours worth of posts that have already flown by you.
Yeah, you could easily fall out of touch.
You may never catch up. So this is if you hired a group of 8-year-olds. This is the kind of analysis I would expect.
One guy says they seem to want to come in here and determine when and how they do work. They sort of expect that they're taking over the office and they determine independently how this works, even though they've been hired to work in a business and you're supposed to comply with how the business operates. He says a lot of them come in and just decide what they're going to do and how often they work and what they do.
One doctor said that it's creeping into the medical field, they start asking for things like, oh, I don't want to see patients. Well, you work in a medical office. One guy says, it's really a problem with language. I feel hamstrung what I can say and can't say. I don't want to offend anyone or trigger someone. This guy is talking about the toddlers. I always have it in the back of my mind that I'm going to get angry one day and I'm going to get freaking canceled.
Employers feel like they're walking on eggshells, afraid they're going to offend their own subordinates.
Tell them to screw off. You got a bunch of little babies come in and you've got to worry about what you say in front of them? Send them home. Tell them to go take a nap.
Some level accusations like white supremacist colonialism that they learned from their professors.
Yeah, get out the door. Out. No wonder they're getting fired in a week. You hear that once, it's like, all right, you're go get in the car. I'll send you a check.
They're defiant.
Ouch!
They have no inhibition.
I don't know how this generation was made. Honestly, I was not aware this was going on in the schools all this time. That really had a huge impact. And I have two of my three kids are Gen Zs.
Think about
you might be shocked to find they're not like this.
Ouch! What comes after Gen Z? The last 10 years of stuff we've gone through.
Time to check out. We got Conway here.
Hey now! Hey, Bed Bugs and Beyond is going out of business. That's a wrap. So, but a lot of stores, you know, they're not taking the coupon. Some stores are, some stores aren't. A lot of confusion out there. So I'm going to settle it for everybody. I'll tackle that issue.
Right. My wife's devastated. Seriously.
Yeah. My wife has been affected by it, too.
Yeah.
She's
in mourning.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. It's a big store with those coupons.
Right.
I think that's what did them in. Everyone gets 20% off everything.
Like if they close Santa Anita, that's what.
They almost did during the pandemic. And that would be the end. I mean, what would I do on weekends, right? The Knob fires burned 131 acres in San Bernardino, but I think we'll tackle that. And then Pasadena approves the purchase of a vacant Kaiser Permanente building to use as affordable housing site. I thought that's what Kaiser Permanente was anyway.
An affordable housing site?
I don't know. Never been in one.
Is that a medical thing?
I've never been in one of those things. And the Colorado River is reaching Lake Mead.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so.
All right.
We're all going to flood.
Yeah, yes, yes. It'll be a big 3 hours on KFI.
Dig dog.
You can.
We're
Come
handing
on.
You the baton.
Let's go.
Conway. Go for it.
Mike
Dig dog.
Throws your eyes the news. Live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.